Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Back in here on a Tuesday, fourth and final hour, it is time for Top 4 Tuesday in college football, where we tell you who we believe would be in the college football playoff at this very moment of the season.
These colors don't run, boys.
What week are we looking at when the playoff show comes? It's next week?
I think two weeks. Yeah, I'll double check on that. But yeah, generally it gets to week 8 or 9, and we are entering week 8 this weekend. Can you believe that already?
Time flies already when you're having fun. So I would say this, and I'll give you my four. You guys give me yours as well. I am on the outside of Wisconsin. Like, I know a lot of people are buying into Wisconsin right now. I would keep Wisconsin and Oklahoma out at this very moment. I think you can make the case for LSU number one, Ohio State number one. I would still have Bama, Clemson, LSU, Ohio State. And I know Clemson hasn't looked great. I just can't get past the concept, and this is the way I would do it. Who do you think would win on a neutral field if they played today?
Yeah.
I can't picture Wisconsin beating Clemson on a neutral field.
Like, do you think Wisconsin would go into Death Valley and do what Florida did this weekend?
Offensively, no.
There's no chance.
Defensively, I'd like to see them play against some of these
teams. I agree, but there's no chance that Wisconsin goes in there and Jack Cohn throws the ball the way Kyle Trask did. And that's a backup. The receiving core for Florida is better. I've got Wisconsin at 10, so I don't even have them in the conversation. I think Penn State's better in the Big Ten than Wisconsin. They have better athletes. They get more guys in space, equally good on defense, better quarterback. Coaching staffs are about the same. But can't wait to see what Wisconsin does against Ohio State in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a great game. I have the same four. I've got Alabama 1, Clemson 2, LSU 3, and Ohio State 4. Those would be my four. I'd have Oklahoma at 5. I actually have Georgia at 6, but I think there's a drop-off after Oklahoma. The big thing to keep in mind with Oklahoma this weekend is they beat Texas with defense. That's something we have not seen from Oklahoma in quite some time. 9 sacks on Sam Ellinger. They held him to 2.8 yards per carry, like 4.5 yards per pass attempt. I mean, they did a great job defensively, and we haven't been able to say that a lot about Oklahoma. So that's the argument this past weekend for Oklahoma.
So are you buying now the fact that they have an offense and a defense?
No, they're still 52nd in the nation in defensive efficiency against the 52nd best schedule. They're still not. They still have not. They've played one really good team. And granted, they looked very good defensively against Texas. I don't know if that's good enough to stop Justin Fields or Tua or Trevor Lawrence or even Joe Burrow. So I still need to see it from Oklahoma defensively before I pick it. So Ohio State's in, LSU's in, Alabama's in, and Clemson's in. Clemson's won 21 straight games, and now they're motivated because they're being disrespected. That's not a good recipe for the rest. They just beat Florida State by 4 or 5 touchdowns like that without even trying. They just breeze through Florida State, and so that's their Clemson is. Their whole goal is to be in fifth gear by December, and they're trending in that direction.
Go ahead, Mr. Big Ten. How many Big Ten teams you got to top four? Three?
Ohio State 1, Wisconsin 2, Penn State 3, Alabama 4.
I'm just looking at what I've seen from each one of these teams, the top 5 or 6 teams. And to me, Ohio State you can flip a coin between Ohio State and Alabama. But I'm going to keep Alabama at 1, O-State at 2. Because Alabama, to me, they started off 2. I think Ohio State has from top to bottom, both sides of the ball, they've proven to me that they are the number one team. But, you know, I'm going with Bama. I'm going with Ohio State. LSU at 3, and then Wisconsin at 4, Clemson, and then Oklahoma. what Wisconsin is able to, what Wisconsin, and then they will get tested because I think they got Ole State this week or next week, and then Penn State coming up, I believe. But what they've done from a defensive standpoint is
they're number one in the nation.
Is remarkable. Yeah. They have shut people down. And
four shutouts.
They are not, I mean, their offense is not this high power juggernaut type of offense. They run the ball very effectively. That offensive line blocks really well. And they play a pressure type defense that makes it very hard for teams to get going. I just think right now you have two teams from the Big Ten. You got a team from, and two teams from the SEC. And that are in my top four.
Let me ask you guys this.
Right now, those are the two. Those are the four best to me. Those are the four best teams.
If Wisconsin and Clemson played today, who would you pick to win? Neutral field. Come on.
No, but listen. I'm
you really think Wisconsin would give them a run?
I am looking at their defense, and the way their defense is played, and the way they've run the football.
I agree.
They would give Clemson a run.
But you've got to have balance on offense.
Do you think that they could slow down Higgins and Ross and ETN, that offensive speed at the skill position? Because you don't see that in the Big Ten.
North Carolina did it.
Except for Ohio State.
No, North Carolina did it.
And they lost.
Lost by 1 point or 2 points, whatever. They did it.
But they lost.
But the thing is, y'all make it seem like Wisconsin, who has the best defense in the country, can't do it.
Well, so I guess my question then is also a larger question for what do we want from the committee, right? And if we want the committee just to specifically look at, like, margin of victory and quality of opponent, right, which is sort of your resume, then you could argue Wisconsin's wins over Michigan State and win over Michigan, you know, was probably on par, if not better.
They shut out both teams, I think.
Well, 14 points for Michigan.
Well, Michigan had 14.
But point is they dominated them, right? They dominated the way they played in their two toughest games. They dominated. And Clemson, in its toughest two games against Texas A&M and North Carolina, did not dominate. And that's fair that Wisconsin has been more dominant. Clemson has played the number 42-ranked schedule in America. Wisconsin's played the 49th-rated schedule in America. So they're about the same from a strength of schedule standpoint. Clearly, one has been more dominant, Wisconsin. There's no question. But clearly, one has better players, and that's Clemson. And so what do we want the committee to do? Look at just how you've played in the games you've played, or try to figure out who the better team is? And if you believe, Derek, that if they were playing right now that Wisconsin's the better team, then I got no problem with people putting Wisconsin in the playoff. But I think it needs to come from a place of saying, I think this team is better. Like right now, I would take Georgia over Wisconsin head-to-head. I would take Georgia to win that game. If I had to put everything I own down, I'd take Notre Dame over Wisconsin. I would take Penn State over Wisconsin.
Notre Dame over Wisconsin, huh?
Penn State. Penn State has far better athletes in space, and they get them the ball, and their quarterback is more dynamic. Like, you have to now be able to throw the football down the field to win playoff games. You can't be a one-dimensional team and win playoff games.
Let me see if you guys agree with this. Could you envision Big Ten? Right now, they've got three teams in the top seven that are undefeated. You've got Ohio State at 4, Wisconsin at 6, Penn State at 7, all unblemished. Mm-hmm. We've only ever seen two teams from one conference make the playoff, and that was the SEC with Bama and Georgia. Could you see two Big Ten teams making the playoff?
There's no chance Clemson misses the playoffs.
If Clemson goes undefeated, they're not missing the playoffs.
Could Bama, Clemson, and two Big Ten teams make it? Could that be your four?
It'd be hard,
yeah,
but sure.
Yeah, you can. But they're going to knock each other off.
No, because here's what would have to happen then. You'd have to have Penn State, like whoever wins the Eastern Division. This is where you get complicated into the college football arithmetic, right? Wisconsin has to play Ohio State, so they can't play them a second time. If they play them a second time, unless Ohio State's undefeated at 12-0 when they play in the Big Ten title game, and then Wisconsin beats them, and they both are 12-1, then maybe they both could get in. But what you need is you need what happened with Alabama and Georgia, which is Ohio State to go 11-1, mm-hmm. or Penn State to go 11-1, finish second in the division, not have to play Wisconsin. But since Ohio State's already beaten Wisconsin, Wisconsin comes back and beats Penn State, and all of a sudden Wisconsin's 12-1. Their only losses to Ohio State. Ohio State's 11-1, but didn't win the division. It's exactly what happened to Bama and Georgia. It's just going to be very hard for that to happen. Oh, by the way, with Oklahoma playing football too,
Oklahoma would have to lose.
I don't think a second Big Ten team gets in over Oklahoma,
and I don't think unless Oklahoma lose in their title game, I don't think they will be left out.
Which is possible.
But again, from what I've seen, this has nothing to do with last year. This has nothing to do with what may happen, you know, three or four games from now. The top teams have been, from what they've done, is Alabama, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and LSU. And, you know,
Wisconsin's been dominant.
Clemson hasn't been dominant. They've won, and you expect them to win, but they hadn't been dominant.
Well, only in the one game. This is the difference. So if you're going to talk about Clemson's struggle against North Carolina, then you have to talk about Wisconsin scoring 10 points against Northwestern, because they struggled big time against Northwestern at home, a Northwestern team that's lost four games.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And they needed two defensive touchdowns to win that game. And it was 24-15 or whatever.
Touchdowns. A team that the defense is the number one defense of the country.
My point is, they've been dominant against everybody else. Clemson's been dominant against everybody else. Mm-hmm. And they both have one game in which they struggled in conference. Clemson was on the road against North Carolina. Wisconsin was at home against Northwestern. They have very similar resumes.
But
their resumes are very similar.
I think Wisconsin's defense has shown their dominance more than Clemson's defense, and
fifth in the nation, Wisconsin's first.
Well, that again, it showed
both pretty.
Wisconsin has been more dominant, and I'm not going to just throw Clemson in there just because they won the championship last year.
That's not what we're doing, by the way.
And it might shake out to be something else toward the end of the season. I don't know, but right now, those are my four teams:
Jack Cohn or Trevor Lawrence. Who do you want?
Well, I mean, if it was Alex Hornibrook or Trevor Lawrence, I'd go Hornibrook. But it's Cone, so I'm going Lawrence.
By the way, Hornibrook played, I think he got some spot start duty against
Getting some
Florida
snaps
State.
For FSU?
He got some start against Clemson this past weekend.
Here, by the way, here's a did you know. Did you know that Florida State actually has 41 four- and five-star recruits to Clemson's 40?
That's not surprising. About right. Florida State recruits at that level. Their coach is not doing a good job right now.
Yeah, I would say Willie Taggart stinks. Pretty much. All right, Chris Mason at the bottom of the hour. The constable's peeking through the window. We'll come back and take some calls. If you want to jump in on our college football playoff discussion, 737-1025. We're back after this on Morning Drive. Yes, indeed. You picture it back in the day. It's 1983.
Is this Motown?
Come on, baby.
Derek Mason, Pork and Bean Jones. They're in gym class.
With their Sunday shoes on.
With their Sunday shoes on.
They're
doing the locomotion.
The wing tips.
No, we got to play this, though, because the constable yesterday went to the gym. And the constable was doing some constable exercises. He was bench pressing the bar, which is 45 pounds, grinding out five sets of five. He was doing cardio.
Did he put? What you said? He put the 5-pounder on there?
I don't even know. Maybe just the clips.
Just the bar.
Just the clips.
Yeah, you got to put the clips on there just to keep the weight on.
Safety first.
He said he was grinding out.
Here's the question: Do you could throw up 225 right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, oh man, it hurts though.
Like a couple times or like 10 times?
A couple times. Hell no, I ain't lifting that damn thing.
I could probably throw it up like once or twice.
Couldn't get it up today.
You couldn't do it.
No.
What would Chase's head do?
Explode.
It would pop.
Yeah.
It would fall off and roll down the.
Is this mean spirited?
No, because he brought it up during a break. He brought up, well, you know, him
but
getting back in the gym.
He said you got to start somewhere.
I am not offended.
Yeah. You got to start somewhere. And I respect a guy getting started, man. Hey. I think that's a good positive
career. True story. If I threw a 45 on each side right now and did 135, I would probably struggle to get to 10.
No, you could do that.
I think I'd struggle. I don't work out like that anymore.
I mean, I don't.
I just
either,
do old man cardio now.
I'm just naturally strong.
Wrong
I guess.
With old man
like I just do like 1 mile on the elliptical, ain't watch
no,
Sports Center, then
no,
go in
no,
the sauna.
No, that's Stillman cardio. Okay,
yeah, that's
Stillman
true. Yeah, if you're gonna do cardio, if you're gonna walk it, do more than 1 mile.
And you gotta run, like just go run, like don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it on like 6.0. I'll do a mile, and then I just go into the steam room.
I have changed. Like I used to do like 5Ks, like three and a half miles or 3.1 or whatever it is as like my workout. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped doing that. I was like, the dog can't take it anymore. He's getting a little old, so he won't be able to make it all 3.5. I do like 2 miles, and then I do like lightweight, like really like Chase McCabe weights. Mm. I do like the really light weights because it's all about core and calisthenics and yoga. And
but you so run outside about, on the concrete still, right?
I which is way better for your knees than
that's better
than
the for your knees.
Yes, way better
really?
Than the treadmill. But I learned how to run. You run on the balls of your feet so that your leg acts as a coil. You got to learn how to run. If you run on your heels, you're always going to have back problems. I learned that about 8 years ago, and I switched how I run, and it changed everything. But I stopped doing the lengthy runs, and then you do a little bit more weights, a little bit more core, you know, resistance workouts. Like, dude, this is all Derek stuff. Isn't this all stuff you do? Like,
I get on the treadmill to warm up for a mile. I walk, though. I put the incline at about, you know, 5-6.
So muscle.
I put the incline about 6, and then I walk at about a 4.5 pace. Because what you got to understand, walking, running, you're still going to burn the same amount of calories.
And you're stretching out your muscles while you're
getting ready. Exactly. So I walk it and I jog it a little bit, but I'm on that old man regimen too.
What does your workout then consist of after you do a mountain climber?
It upper body, lower body, full body, mixed with cardio.
But you still go hard on the weights, though.
Not too hard, man.
Lightweight. Looks like you go hard.
Light weights, high reps?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the smart way to
but
do it.
But it depends. Some days I go, you know, heavy with not as many reps, but then some days I go light with more reps. I just want to stay toned.
Maybe you can use Matt LaFleur for some motivation when you go to the gym. Jeez.
I can.
They don't give you style points in this league. All that matters is what that final scoreboard says. Right now, if you do know, that is a great team win.
Makes sense.
We started fast. We said we wanted to start fast. We started fast. And you know what, fellas? We stuck together.
Down
we stuck
13,
together,
nothing.
And we got the job done. So hell of a job. Congratulations, you guys.
Yeah!
Hey, understand, this is a process, and we got to keep building. We got to keep building and get better each and every day, all right? But enjoy the win, all right? And get your mind right for another battle here next week versus Denver, all right? So enjoy it. Be ready to go next week. All right?
All right.
Congrats, Coach, on your first home win and all that.
We got to be determined.
Hang on. You guys sold this to me like he was going to sound like some prepubescent teenage child.
He did sound like a teenage
child. You know what he sounds like? He sounds like the leader of the NFC North is what he sounds like.
He sounds like a child.
5-1.
Hey, guys. Good job.
You guys played fast. You guys' voices are way higher.
You got to be determined. We can beat the Lions anywhere.
I got my first win of the season, everybody.
He got his fifth win of the season.
We got to be determinated, man.
I can't help it that they got the best record in the NFC. It's not my fault.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez. Trey Flowers is a big guy, but you guys did a great job.
Y'all are wrong, man.
737-1025. Keith is next on Morning Drive. Keith, you go ahead.
Hey, guys. I got a couple observations, but I want to tell you my workout routine.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm 64 years old. I come home from work. I get in my recliner. I get up, I walk 57 feet, start opening up the refrigerator, start doing 12-ounce curls.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
My man.
I love it.
Got to get those. Got to keep those pythons strong, baby.
Hey, my right one is real strong. But I got a couple points here. Back during the preseason, I told my buddy, I said, you wait and see, Logan Woodside is going to be our franchise quarterback. Maybe not this year, but next year.
I gotta say, Keith, 100 points for originality and creativity. I haven't heard that take. Not from a single human. Not a single human has said Logan Woodside will be the franchise quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. So, huge points, Keith, for creativity and originality.
I gotta tell you though, man, that kid could just really zip it around in August when you're wearing shorts and t-shirts.
Hey, man, they need. I
he was really
I'm
good.
I'm joking.
At Toledo, yeah. Right? Toledo.
Is that where he played?
He was a Mac guy.
Yeah. Mac and cheese or...
Speaking of the Mac, do we have any Tuesday night action tonight?
When does that start?
App State.
Macadocious?
I'm just going to let Derek do as many Mac things. Bernie Mac, Return of the Mac. Keep going.
Return of the Mac.
Okay, you done?
Macadow.
Mike McIntyre. Macintosh Apples.
Steve Mac. Which one is it?
Okay, are you done?
Coming up next, we're going to get ready for a big-time hockey game tonight. Grab a nap, wake up late tonight, pour a coffee, and 9 o'clock puck drop on 102.5 The Game. The Predators in Vegas to take on the Golden Knights. Our pal Chris Mason will join us to preview that game next on Morning Drive. 9:30 back in here on a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you. Big finish coming up 9:45 this morning. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, will join us hopefully at some point in this segment. Of course, the Predators out west, so it's about 7:30 Vegas time as the Preds take on the Golden Knights tonight. See, Mace might have...
got the Vegas flu.
Have the Vegas flu, might be asleep.
Yeah, could be.
It's team bonding, guys. Yeah, it's about the team bonding.
Oh, him and Skillsy and Lindsey Rowley, they were all hanging out at the MGM Grand Pool yesterday.
Willie was with him?
And yeah, Willie, they were playing
living it up.
They're playing pickleball.
Ah, pickleball.
Willie and C Mace and Hal and I'm not sure Pete
pickleball,
was out there.
Pickleball. That'd have been cool to see if
there's video
Pete
of it.
Was out there. And Pete was playing pickleball with him. You think that'd have been cool?
Yeah, I don't think Pete plays.
I don't know who the fourth person was, but here's the unfair thing.
They had
though.
A doubles tennis match as well.
Why that's the pickleball, dude. Why is
my bad?
Why is it that Chris Mason and Hal Gill are on the same side? That seems unfair.
That is totally unfair.
To put the broadcasters on one side and put the two former NHL players on the other team. You should split up the NHL players if you're going to play.
Totally unfair.
It would be like me and Braden against Marquise and who else was trying to challenge us in basketball?
Calvin was trying to. It was Marquise and Calvin.
It'd be a mismatch.
Which they still have not.
I think Marquise and Calvin would dominate y'all guys.
You want to throw a couple bucks down on that?
Hey, y'all underestimating Calvin.
Y'all know I got that jump shot, right?
I know Calvin's an athlete. You're underestimating the size of my ass, all right? You are underestimating old man's strength. And old man's strength is never lost.
You put Rick Mahorn on him.
Dude, I will back Calvin Smith down into the post so easy. I'll just be little baby hooks all game. And I'll just have Nick on the perimeter in case I need a jump shot knocked down. He's got the jump shot. Marquise is going to try to double because he's going to have to double. And I'm just going to kick it out to Nick, and he'll drop a few dimes out there.
I'm like Woody Harrelson in White Man Can't Jump.
Old man strength right here, baby.
Which part?
The shooting.
Okay.
He's got a good jump shot.
Braden's seen it.
You got to get it off. You got to get it
off. Dude, I ain't worried. That's why I draw the defense in. I kick it out to Nick. He makes
jumpers. Be up in your grill, man, so you can't get it off.
Marquise, you think you can face guard the jump shot there on Nick Hill?
Killer pump.
You scared of Marquise? Marquise?
No.
They would, man, Calvin would.
I hit him with that Hakeem Olajuwon in the post.
Calvin would straight up low post you. Nick.
No, that's
straight
why
up.
I am guarding
have
him.
Have you seen this wingspan over here?
Dude, that's why I'm guarding
nervous?
Him.
I will foul out before I allow Calvin to post me up. I'll use all six.
Yeah, that's not the... I am in the block.
Calvin would straight up put you on the low. I got Calvin on this.
Okay.
One.
Calvin is a very good athlete. Sneaky good athlete.
He claims
he can dunk.
I think he can.
He claims he can dunk.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
No, but I'm still going to knock him around in the blocks. He's not going to come in there and get... Free change in there.
Speaking of dunking, this is one of the enjoyments of being a dad. As you start to get a little older, and your son starts to dunking on mom too, and your son starts to creep up and hide, and he starts to feel himself a little bit. So
you checked him, didn't you?
No, it wasn't me. I didn't check him. So my son, he loves to. His affirmation is, he likes his thing is congratulate him, or what do they call it?
Positive reinforcement.
Yeah, positive reinforcements is one of his, sort of the love language. They have the five love languages or whatever.
You're going really
and some
deep
people
here.
Like words of affirmation. That's what they're called, words of affirmation. And so my son, he has sent his mom and I certain things about with him doing stuff or whatnot. So he has been telling me he could dunk for the longest. And I just hadn't believed him. And he also tells me he can throw up 225. I just don't believe
him. Tell him you didn't believe him on the dunking?
No, I told you. He knows. Yeah. Like, okay. I mean, like, okay, dude, go to the gym with me. We can see
Put
you
two
throw
plates
up 225.
On there. Let's see what you got.
I think he can do it, but I'm still going to say he can until he shows me. I think he can. So... This weekend, last Friday, he's texting his mom and I. So he sends a video of him in school because he stays after school. And he said, I dunked. So I'm thinking like, yeah, whatever. So he sends the video of him dunking.
Is it real?
No, it's real. I was so proud to see my son dunk. I know it's not a big accomplishment, but just to see your kid like.
My daughters will never dunk. So
I dunked. On the 10-foot rim. It's like, okay, I see you. I see you, big fella. You got a little hops on you.
That's pretty good. How tall is he?
He's about 5'10",
if you can
right
dunk
below
under,
me,
if,
right?
If you can dunk under 6 foot, you're a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, so he dunked. I was like, all right, I see you, big fella. You got a little hops to you. But he sends the video of him dunking.
Of course.
I'm like, okay, I see.
Now, can he throw up two plates?
I don't know. I hadn't seen that yet. He says he can, but I said, until I see it, I'm not going to believe it.
All I know is he can.
Those are the joys of being a dad.
He's a 5'10 teenager who can dunk, throw up two plates, and drives a Stang. He's got a good life. He's got a good life right now. I'm just saying he's probably enjoying himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can he run a dig route?
He can run a dig route.
Can he catch?
Yeah,
he got hands?
Yeah, he chose not to play, which I'm like, thank goodness.
And mom is probably like, kick yeah, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, thank goodness he decided not to play.
When's the last time you hooped with him one-on-one?
Oh, I dominate him.
Was it like that scene on He Got Game when Denzel had to play against Ray Allen for his freedom?
I give him a low post, and I just use my muscle line. Because I tell him, like, listen.
That's what I'm telling you about me and Calvin.
I tell him, get your weight up, homie.
Have you seen Calvin? I know
I haven't heard that in a long time, get your weight up.
But he's so skinny. That's my thing. Like, I'm an old man strength here where I can throw my weight around against him. That's exactly the reason I think I can beat Calvin in the post.
Put him in low post.
He's a better athlete than me who has far greater stamina. But I will just toss him around like a ragdoll.
Hit him with a couple of elbows.
I will throw him around like a little toy. And he thinks he's going to come down in the blocks and dunk on me.
Get your weight up, homie.
Get your weight up, Calvin.
All right, Chris Mason, driven by Freeland Chevrolet, not with us here this morning. He's in Vegas, probably asleep, but I really can't blame him. Can I complain about one thing?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, Major League Baseball, and I've mentioned this to you guys off the air. So the St. Louis-Washington series, the NLCS, is a total mismatch right now. Cardinals are down 0-3.
How many runs have the Cardinals scored in three games?
Two, I think.
One?
Yeah, ridiculous.
It's been terrible. But Yankees-Astros is by far the more appealing series on paper to start the series and has been by far the more competitive series. It's one game apiece.
And the hottest pitcher on the planet currently is pitching for the Astros today.
That game is a 3:08 first pitch central time on Fox Sports 1. The biggest brand in Major League Baseball, maybe the biggest brand in all of sports, and the Astros, who are the 2017 World Series champions, and probably the odds-on favorite to win the whole thing.
In a huge Game 3.
And that would be 1 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock Pacific time, on a channel that probably a good 20% of America doesn't get. If you're Major League Baseball, what the hell are you doing?
By putting the Yankees there, maybe you're boosting the ratings, actually. I don't have a problem.
But the average person working is not going to be able to see the game.
I mean, how many average? I mean, the average guy that's watching baseball right now.
Well, the average guy that works 9 to 5 that's a baseball fan that you know lives for the playoffs in October. You're not going to be able to see it unless you take a day off of work.
Catch the last half. Five or six innings.
I get it now. Like selfishly, I love afternoon sports and morning sports because of my schedule. So selfishly, I love 3 o'clock games. I think it's awesome.
They're great for us.
Yeah, it's great for us. It's also, here's the other thing. If you are a kid, it's good for you because the 8 p.m. Eastern time start means that kids aren't going to see any. If you're a Yankees fan and you're 8 years old living in New York, Boston, D.C., Baltimore, anywhere in the Eastern time zone, you're not going to see the end of the game because you can't stay up that late. So you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place on that. I understand where you're coming from, though. But it is Yankees versus Gerrit Cole, which is as big a matchup as you could possibly get right now. And so that does need to be showcased. I'm glad that Eastern time-wise, most every kid will be out of school by 4:50. What time do kids get out of school? 4 o'clock? 4:15?
Yeah, 3:30.
The game will start after every Yankees fan in the Eastern time zone and the Central time zone largely have been out of school. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get to watch most of the game in the Eastern and Central time zone, which is, I'm guessing here, probably, 70% of the American population?
But
I mean, the majority of people live in the Eastern and Central time zones. So,
but why would Fox not put the game on main Fox? Why would you put this on FS1?
Because you want to grow FS1. I mean, that's the only reason I can think of.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know you're going to get viewership because it's the Yankees and it's Gerrit Cole, you know, maybe that's why you're doing that. Also, Cardinals is a big draw. Cardinals are a big brand as well. And, you know, to have them, that game technically does start time zone wise later, right? Like, they're in the Central time zone versus New York is in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah, that game is a 7:05 first pitch on TBS.
That's Central time?
Central.
So that'd be an 8 o'clock start Eastern if they switched them, right? So the Yankees, so then, again, that's where you're going to complain about all the kids missing the end of the game, right? Mm. So you're kind of stuck between two options. I love it, though, because I'm going to watch both of them.
All right. Big Finish coming up next. Stay there. It's Morning Drive.
big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
It is time for the big finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. And Braden Gall, the big finish is brought to you by
Nashville Soccer Club. That's right. Inaugural season tickets for the MLS season starting next year are available now at NashvilleSC.com. Only one game left in the regular season, only one point back of being an Eastern Conference champion if they can win this weekend. So really cool stuff for Nashville SC. NashvilleSC.com for season tickets.
Let's get to the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. And we welcome you into a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. But I'm just going to kind of take a step back here, slide my chair on out, put my feet up, and let my two cohorts go at it for the Gall Mason Bowl.
I mean, I don't know what you can say. Be better, Detroit, you know. Green Bay, 5-1.
Stay classy, Wisconsin. Stay classy.
Listen, the UP now belongs to us. We've beaten Central Michigan. We've beaten the Lions. We've beaten Michigan State. We've beaten Michigan. Basically, the state of Wisconsin has taken control of the Upper Peninsula.
Stay classy, Wisconsin. Stay classy.
Do you think anyone that listens to our show knows what the Upper Peninsula is?
Exactly, no.
The Upper Peninsula is a giant piece of land that's attached to Wisconsin but somehow got given to Michigan.
Yeah, we took it. We just straight up took it.
Well, we got it back this weekend after beating everyone from the state of Michigan.
Lost in all of this with the Packers being 5-1. Matt LaFleur, now you look at this guy, 2017 with the Rams, 2019 with the Packers, you know, a stop with Nashville in between. I don't know, personnel kind of matters, doesn't it?
Yeah, but his post game talk to the guys in the locker room was just the worst. He's not
Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, he's not. He should never say anything in front.
Just a little boy.
Yeah.
Well, but he's a calculator. Like, yeah, he's just calculators don't give good speeches.
We beat big guys. We beat little guys.
that's basically how you look. We'll beat them in New England. We'll beat them anywhere.
Let's get to this, because I thought Vrabel was completely out of line in his response to our very own Jared Stillman. Take a listen. Here's Stillman asking a question to Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
Marcus has been to a Pro Bowl. He's been in the playoffs before you were hired. Since you've been hired, he's regressed to this point. Why?
Yes, I'm just not a very good coach, Jared.
Vrabel is completely out of line there with that response. To me, Vrabel is showing a level of looking down upon the media, looking down upon the fan. I get the sense he's got this Patriots arrogance to him. Like, D-Maze, you always say, when you have skins on the wall, you can get away with more. Like, Mike Vrabel's got three skins on the wall as a player. He don't have a damn thing as a head coach. The Tennessee Titans' official Twitter account tweeted out, Titans to decide between quarterbacks Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. Decision coming in the next 24 hours. They put up a link to the story, picture a split-screen graphic of Marcus and Tannehill, which I find very odd, and I never really commented on it on Twitter, but I did see it. And then I saw in the replies, Delanie Walker, of all people, replies to the Tennessee Titans Twitter, and he says, LMAO, why would you post that? And you wonder why the fan act the way they do.
He's completely right. You made this thing act as if, you know, it's dun-dun-dun-dun, Marcus against Tannehill, dun-dun-dun-dun, when it's not that way.
Titans to decide between quarterbacks Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. Decision in the next 24 hours with a very dramatic picture of both of them in the same photo.
Looks like a main event picture.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like you're pitting two guys.
Promotional material.
It's like you're pitting two guys against one another.
We welcome in our general manager, Floyd Reese.
My gut tells me they're going to give Marcus another shot. And, you know, after sitting out, after the realization that he can be taken out for the first time in his career, probably, you know, it may be enough of a shakeup to make a difference. Maybe it won't, but I think that's what they need to find out. The mission is still the same for them, unless in their minds, they've said he can't do it. And if they're saying that, you know, he's not the guy, then, you know, they'll probably put Tannehill in and run with him and see what happens. But if they still think that Marcus has a prayer, then I think they'll go back to him and, you know, give him an opportunity to straighten it out.
During the last commercial, I tweeted it will be. And this is what I said on the air. I said it'll be demoralizing to Titans fans if Vrabel sends Mariota back out there this week as a starter. Me personally, I have no interest in watching Marcus anymore. Give me Tannehill to confirm what I already know, that he's not the guy either. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple, straightforward.
Yeah,
legit tweet, right? Zach says, "Why are you drawing a line in the sand? You have two quarterbacks. One is the guy for now. Why not try a positive approach instead of the constant Debbie Downer approach?" And my response to that is, well, if you want fanboy rah-rah analysis, you can find it on social media, but you're not going to get it from me. Like, this is the truth. And you have two quarterbacks? No, you have zero.
Yeah,
you think Vandy has two quarterbacks? They have zero. Well, do the Vols have two quarterbacks? No, they have zero.
No, you absolutely
two quarterbacks,
right.
Zero.
Until one guy just proves this season that it's my team and I'm going to win, then you have no quarterback.
We have six quarterbacks in the state. Translation, we have zero. We have nothing.
Are you guys dog or cat people?
Dog. I don't trust
dog.
Cats.
Yeah, no. Cats. Me and cats.
I don't trust cats.
Mike Leach, on the other hand, he is
enough
not.
Said.
He is a cat person. And here's his explanation why he is a cat person.
Hmm. There's a definite difference. I've never been able to understand animosity towards a cat any more than like a squirrel or a hamster or something, you know? You don't see somebody, I hate hamsters, or I hate squirrels, or I hate robins, you know. I mean, cat owners tend to be, from my experience, more independent, a little more solo.
I get if you're comparing hamster, cat, squirrel, but, like, I think people don't like squirrels either. I think people are kind of, like, anti-squirrel in general.
Yeah.
In fact, I got a buddy who's got a really good squirrel killing trick for his yard, if you guys want me to share that with you one day. But I don't think we hate cats. I don't trust a cat. I think they're all Russian spies. I just don't trust them. I don't hate them. I just don't trust them.
I dislike cats.
Does it make us simple and easy that we appreciate the like sort of the blind loyalty of a dog? I don't want to have to work for my pet's affection.
Let's just say there are the haves and then the have-nots of the world. One man living life the way we all should.
What is it called? The acronym?
I need to.
What is it?
The CSPD.
Yeah.
Nick Braden and the CSPD here.
Cool Springs Police Department?
Yeah, that's correct. We'll clean that up for you.
One cat's fun. Two cats are twice as fun, so let's get 20 of them.
Say I love crepes!
The crepes.
Are those really thin pancakes, man? They got some cheese and fruit on them. I just wish I could crawl right up in there and eat my way out.
Jesus. We watched that whole skit during the break.
Just how about you say, I love very thin pancakes?
There you go. With sugar on it.
What's his face? His buddy.
Would be a serial killer like Nick.
Who's just butter. John. Wayne, what's the guy's name? What's the actor's name? The guy from Step Brothers who's best buddies with Will Ferrell and like all
John
these
C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly. Yeah. And he leans in. He's like, hey man, this is just between you and me, just us guys here. But he's giving you a pretty good out. You don't need to get your arm broken. He's giving you pretty good out here. Just say that you like the really thin pancakes.
He said he liked the Liberty Bell, man. That crack.
I ain't gonna crack. Yeah, man. This scene is so good.
All right, boys, quickly before we get out of here and hand it off to Darren, Donick, and Chase, Vegas tonight and the Predators in Las Vegas. 9 o'clock puck drop on 102.5 The Game. Vegas is a -140 favorite. Not too often the Preds are underdogs. They are +125 tonight. You get a little value on the Preds. I might have to give out my first Predators spread lock of the year. I kind of like Nashville tonight.
Ooh, you like this one?
Bouncing back after the L.A. performance.
You like it outright?
Two of the top four scoring teams in the NHL, so should be lots of fireworks, lots of tempo, both up and down the ice. Should be a lot of fun. The question is, what does the defense look like at the end of the night?
Must be better than it was against Los Angeles. We will certainly have full reaction tomorrow right out of the gate on this show, and we will have plenty of thoughts on tonight's game. Hopefully you can stay up to make it, because it probably won't end until close to 11:30.
D, how much baseball are you watching today?
Zero.
That's so sad. I just feel sad for you.
Tell me when the World Series, and then I'll watch it.
Stros and Astros is the World Series.
No, it's not the World Series.
No, what I'm saying is that whatever happens in the World Series will not be as good as what you're going to watch in the Yankees-Astros series.
I know.
They're the
but
best two teams.
That's all I want to see.
You have
World
the best
series.
Pitcher on the planet going against the best lineup on the planet tonight in Yankee Stadium. Game 3 It's awesome. You should watch it.
Will they actually play the World Series in prime time, or will it be a 2:15 first pitch?
If there's a call, tell me to watch when there's a seven.
You know, you don't want to.
This is a huge. You should watch Garrett.
I mean,
Cole,
you know, God forbid Fox preempt Judge Judy.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You know,
I'm watching HGTV.
Hey, Yankees and Nationals coming up on Fox Sports 7.
Please watch Garrett Cole.
First pitch
HGTV,
at 11 a.m.
Baby.
Good Lord.
Chip and Joanna suck.
No, they don't.
I'm just
Stop
kidding.
Hating.
I'm just kidding. I don't like shiplap. I'm sorry.
Exactly. All right. Darren, Donick, and Chase, they are coming up next. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We will talk to you bright and early tomorrow morning. Predators and the Golden Knights. Calling it now. Predators with the outright upset.
Whoa.
See you tomorrow.
All right. Bailey DJ Nashville. I love you.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at